Okay, I didn't even realize it, but we finished five last time, so this is lesson six, Feast of Israel, and we're looking at the Feast of Trumpets. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Leviticus 23, and we're continuing, of course, our study of the feast, and we're seeing the holy days, or the holidays is another way to say it, that God gave to his people Israel. He did this to set them apart. Remember, he set them apart to make them unique people. He reminded them of what he had done for them already, and then it was actually a foreshadow of future events. So really three things there. He set them apart, reminded them, and then was a foreshadow. This morning, we're continuing seeing, and what we're calling here is the Feast of Trumpets. It's the Jewish New Year. It's the first day of the seventh month. It is called Rosh Hashanah. Now, let me just say this, and we'll get to it a little bit later, but there's a civil year and a religious year, and it seems kind of funny. You'd say, how could the first of the year be the seventh month? Well, that's the civil year. The month of Nisan was their first year as far as religious was concerned, and the 14th day of the first month was Passover. Well, this is the seventh month, and it's called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means head. Hashanah means the head of the year. And so Rosh Chodesh is Rosh's head, Chodesh is month. So Rosh Chodesh is the head of the month. That's the new moon feast. This is called Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the year, and that's the new year. As we see the feast, that they're all important, and not only for the nation of Israel, but really the picture for us, that there are things that point to the church as well. This one is called the Feast of Trumpets. And of course, when you say trumpet, everybody thinks of certain things. We think of the trumpets of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. They blow the trumpet and the people would all gather. But we also stop and say, well, when Jesus comes to get us, there'll be the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the, anybody know? The trumpet of God. I mean, so we say, well, there's a trumpet there. And when Jesus Christ comes at the second coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there's going to be a trumpet blow there as well. So we're talking about the Feast of Trumpets. We're going to see how this puts together. Well, when we think about New Year's, it's a little bit different than the Jewish people think about New Year's. It's coming soon. It's not going to be very long, because I love when you get to Thanksgiving, from Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year's, all of that kind of piles in there pretty quickly, and I love that. That's my favorite time of everything. And when you think about New Year's for us, we think, okay, New Year's, it's another year, football games, family, friends, we're all together. But we also stop and think a lot of times about, okay, what happened last year, and what's going to happen this year? What do we want? You know, what do we think? Well, usually when we begin a New Year's, it's a time of reflection or decision. Well, think about the Jewish people. When the Jewish people had their new year, we're going to talk about it, because right after the Feast of Trumpets, there were 10 days before the next feast, which is called Yom Kippur. And that's, we're going to really go in some detail on that. Well, that 10-day time period was a time called the Days of Awe. And we'll talk more about it as we go through the study. So as we think about the feast, they all tie together. This one is the first day of the seventh month. It's Rosh Hashanah. Now remember, here's what we've done. We have been looking, go ahead and go to the next slide. We've been seeing the weekly feast, monthly, yearly, non-yearly, and special. The weekly feast, of course, was the Sabbath. The monthly feast was the new moon. The yearly feast are the seven feasts that we're looking at in Leviticus 23. There's a flow there from Passover to unleavened bread to first fruits to Pentecost to trumpets to Day of Atonement to tabernacles. Those all go together. They're yearly feasts. Now, there are other yearly feasts as well that we're going to talk about, but they're not found in Leviticus 23. Then we're going to talk about some non-yearly feasts, some things that they would do sometimes every 7 years, sometimes every 49 and 50 years. We'll look at some of those. And then we're going to look at special feasts, and that's things like a bar mitzvah and a wedding feast and those kind of things. So as the weeks go by, we'll continue to look at that. Let me remind you of the flow. And I think it's, if you get to the top of the, I guess it's the second page as you flip over, everybody should have gotten those five deals there. I can't even turn this page. But if you get over there, let's talk about the flow of these feasts. Now, I've been talking to some people, and sometimes there are a lot of details that we've been talking about. I want you to always see the big picture, okay? The big picture on this flow of God's plan of redemption in these feasts are this. The first feast is, okay, go ahead, the 14th day of the first month is Passover. Passover was the picture of the death. They killed a lamb. The blood was shed, delivered him from Egypt. It was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ being our Passover lamb. So when you think of Passover, you think of Jesus Christ dying for us, paying for our sins. Following Passover, On the next, it was the unleavened bread, started on the 15th of the month and went to the 21st. It was unleavened was a picture of no sin. So just think of that when you think about it. Not only did Jesus Christ live a sinless life, but those who have trusted in Jesus Christ are to live righteous and sinless lives as well. That's what the Feast of Unleavened Bread was. Okay, you got that one? The third one is the day after the Sabbath in that week was the Feast of First Fruits. Now, Jesus died on Passover, and then he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then he rose from the grave. He happened to rise from the grave on the first day of the week. The day after the Sabbath in the week is always the first day of the week, and the first day of the week was the Feast of First Fruits. First Fruits is a picture of what? What is it? Resurrection. That's exactly right. So you've got Passover, which was the death of the lamb, and then you got first fruits, was the resurrection. And remember, we said first fruits was little bitty because you'd go out and you'd see the very first coming up. So first fruits is the picture of the first one. Well, Jesus Christ is the first one to die and to rise again forever. Now you say, well, no, people have died, right? People have died and were risen again. Jesus raised the little girl, the 12-year-old girl. He raised the widow at Nain, her son. He raised Lazarus from the dead, but they died again. When we talk about resurrection, resurrection is not to be raised up and then die again. Resurrection is to be raised up to never die again. Jesus is the first one, the first fruit. So you've got Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, followed by the next one is you count 50 days after first fruits from the Feast of First Fruits, and it was called Pentecost. Now, this is the one we just did. Pentecost, it means 50. It's sometimes called the Feast of Weeks. It reminded the Jewish people about that they come out and there's a harvest coming, more things are coming, because first fruits you got a little bit, but at 50 days on Pentecost you went out and had the harvest. You remember the Jewish people had their tradition that that's when Moses got the law. That's when Moses got the law at Mount Sinai. That was their picture. But we said that it was a sort of a mystery. And if you remember last week, what was the mystery of the Old Testament? The church. And so for the Jewish people, they would say, why do you do Pentecost this way? They'd say, well, we're thinking about God giving the law, and we're thinking about getting a harvest. And other than that, we don't know exactly why we do what we do, because we wave two loaves and all that kind of stuff. Well, it just so happens that on the day of Pentecost, what happened? The church began. The church was a mystery in the Old Testament, made up of Jew and Gentile. That's the two loaves coming together. And as the law was given in Moses, the church, in a sense, is the age of grace. It replaces, in a sense, the age of the law. And so there's a little change there. And so what we saw last week was Pentecost was the beginning of the church. Now, following that, go back. I think we skipped a slide. Okay, there we go. There are three fall feasts. Do you remember we have three feasts that go right together? You have Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. They're all right there together. Then you have one sort of in the middle, Pentecost, and then you get to the fall, you get to the seventh month, and you have three feasts in the seventh month. The Feast of Trumpets, which is on the first day of the seventh month, the Feast of Atonement, which is the Day of Atonement, which is on the tenth day of the seventh month, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, which comes a little bit later, and we'll talk more about that. But they all three come together in the seventh month, and they're amazing and how they fit together. Now, let's think about this. We're seeing the flow. We think of Passover represents what for us? The death of Jesus Christ, right? And then unleavened bread represents what? His sinless life. And first fruits represents his resurrection. And then you go along and you have what? What's after that? Huh? Pentecost, which is the church. Okay, what's the next event? Okay, the next event would be the rapture. If we're looking through timeline, we would say the next event for us would be the rapture. But let me ask you a question. For the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, what would be the next event? The second coming. Because you have the tribulation part, but then the next big event for them is the second coming. Now, the rapture, what is the signal for the rapture? Well, no, not signs. What's the signal that the rapture is happening? Right? There will be a shout, the voice of archangel, and the trumpet of God. So the signal is the trumpet, right? What's the signal for the second coming? It's a trumpet. He's coming out of the cloud, coming to the earth, and the trumpet will sound, and every knee will bow, and every eye will look at him, and all of those kind of things. So if you look at this, the next slide, the church, the rapture is the next thing, the return of Jesus Christ in the clouds, take the body of Christ out. But then you go on, and for Israel is the tribulation, and then, of course, that's the next event for them, but in a sense, it's the second coming, which follows right after that. So what we want to do is let's think about the Feast of Trumpets. Now, you have to think about it two ways. We look at it Jewish-wise first, and the Feast of Trumpets to the Jewish person, what was it a foreshadow for? It's a gathering together, right? Now, for the Jewish person, what would be the gathering for them? What has every Jewish person been waiting for? Okay, Messiah, and what? I heard somebody, what did you say? The kingdom, yeah. Yeah, in fact, let me ask you a question. All the way through, Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven is at hand and all of this. And then he told them to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations and all this. And then in Acts chapter 1, he taught them. And as he was ready to leave, what was the question they asked him? Is it time for the what? Kingdom. See, they all think kingdom. So for the Jewish person, if you've got Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits and Pentecost, the next thing they're thinking of would be a gathering together, which might be the new year, but the kingdom idea. So look at Leviticus 23. Look at verse 23. Again, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing of what? Of trumpets. When it says by blowing, some of our Bibles don't have the word trumpets in there. It's not in the original Hebrew, but it's just by blowing, which they'd understand you blow the shofar, which is a trumpet, a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. So the very first thing that he says, because if you go back to verse 23, again, the Lord spoke to Moses, and here's what he's saying. This is called the Feast of Trumpets. It's on the first day of the seventh month. It's called the head of the month. Now remember, I taught you a while ago, if you go to the next slide, that there is a civil year which begins on the seventh month, a sacred year begins on the first month. What's the first month called? Anybody know? Nisan, yeah, and that's when Passover is. This is the seventh month, and it's a civil year, so it's the new year. If you have a Jewish calendar, I have a Jewish calendar. I should have brought it in here. If you have a Jewish calendar, we don't still have that slide of that Jewish calendar we could throw up, do we? Just to throw it up for a second. I don't know if she can get to it or not. I don't want to mess up anything. Can you find it? If you can't find it, don't worry about it. But you look at a Jewish calendar, and on the first day of the seventh month starts their new year, a new date. So everything is different that year. Now, here's what they would do when you think about this day. Because notice what it says. The sons of Israel, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing. Okay? And so what they did, oh, there it is. And notice, I was trying to see if it had the Jewish date on it, but it doesn't on this one, I don't think. But that's when we started September, and we had, if you notice, I don't think you can see this, but I still can't reach it that way. If look at number 8, on the 8th day, look what that day is. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's it right there. That is the first day of the 7th month, and then they would go, and they would have 10 days until you get to Yom Kippur. See it right there? And then they would go over, and you get to Sukkoth, which is booths. That's on the that day. So that's how it works. There's all three of them right there on that calendar. And we're studying Rosh Hashanah right now. Remember the Jewish calendar, the day begins in the evening. So the night comes first. So technically, this is what's so weird. Tonight at 6 o'clock, when we come here, we call it what? Sunday night. What do they call it? Monday night. Because see, Monday night and Monday day. That's how they do it. The evening and the morning were first. And that goes back to the book of Genesis, the way God told them to do that. So they would go ahead and go back to the slide. They blew the trumpets. If you can do it. I know it's hard. Thanks for finding that. Okay. So, and here's what they would do. Okay. In the next slide. They blew the trumpet and they offered sacrifices. That's what they would do on this. And think about a trumpet for the Jewish people. For us, we don't think about it very much. But look, the trumpet for the Jewish people was big. Look, I think I've got four things here. I don't know if it's on your thing or not. Oh, yeah, trumpets for Israel. Look at these four things. Go to the next slide if you can. The other way. One more. There we go. The trumpet was always a gathering of people. Sometimes that they had a certain sound that they blow, that they would blow, and people would come together. They also had a sound they would blow for battle. In fact, there was two ways to blow it. You blow it a certain way, you charged. You blew it another way, you retreated. I mean, that's what they do. They knew to do that. And then they announced the holy days. They would blow the shofar. The shofar was that kind of horn that you've seen that they'd go and they'd blow. And then the beginning and ending of the day, beginning and ending of a month. Did you know that there was a priest that every day, he got up on the edge of the temple, looking out toward the east, toward the rising of the sun. His job was to watch. And when he thought that the sun came right there, as soon as they saw that sun come, he would say, "It is now the day." He would blow the shofar, and they would open the temple gates. And there was another priest that stayed and got on the other side, of course, while the sun is going down. And his job was to wait until he said, "Okay, the sun is gone." And as soon as it was gone, he'd blow the trumpet, and they'd shut the gates. And that was some of their job at the beginning of the day, beginning of the month, beginning of the years, all of these things. They blew the trumpet. The trumpet was made out of animal's horn, called the shofar. Now, let's talk about this feast, and let's think about Israel and the trumpet, okay? Let's think about some of the things. The trumpet reminded Israel of several things when they'd blow this thing, that it was a new year, and that when you have a new year, you go back to think that God is the Creator. And you think about it, and that's one of the reasons I think the message this morning about being thankful was good, in the sense that it makes us stop and realize that we're thankful for who God is, what He's done for us. Well, when they would have a new year, they would do the same thing. They would stop and be thankful. And I think it's a good thing that we do, that when we start a new year, we always have times in which we say we look back to the past year, we look forward to the future, but we also have to recognize that by the grace of God, we get another year, that He created it all and He works all things. They also reminded themselves about how they gathered from Egypt, and it was a great time of praise and rejoicing. When they would blow that trumpet, they would always think about how, you know, they've gathered together. They're gathering as a people, and that they were in Egypt and now they're out. The third thing is, it was a preparation time for the Day of Atonement, which was coming in 10 days. On the 10th day of the 7th month was the Day of Atonement. Now, when we get to that, I want to say this to you. All of these feasts so far, Passover was fun. Yay. Feast of Unleavened Bread, okay. First fruits was good. Pentecost was good. Trumpets was actually good. But the next one's not good. The next one is not a happy time. The next one is the only feast that was a sad one. That was the Day of Atonement. That was the preparation for the coming 10 days. And then the last thing, they thought of the coming, I'm sorry, go back, coming of the Messiah as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so as we think of the trumpets, it reminded them of those things. But these 10 days were the most holy days of the holidays, because the Day of Atonement was coming. They afflicted their souls in this 10-day time period. They do it today. You know what I'm saying? This is not only what they did, this is what they do now. They do it a little bit differently because they can't do the Day of Atonement as they used to, because they don't have any temple or anything. But these days were called, as we put it up a while ago, these called the Days of Awe were 10 days. The Days of Awe. And so I want you to understand that on the Feast of Trumpets, they said, "We gather, grace of God, great days. But now we stop, and for the next 10 days, we call this the Days of Awe, and we're going to have to examine our lives." Now, what we're going to see in just a minute is going to make you very sad, okay? Because when we examine our lives and we want to have a relationship with God, we say, how does a person have a relationship with God? Huh? It's by faith in Jesus Christ, right? We understand He sent the Messiah, the Savior. We trust in Him and we have eternal life, right? Okay, watch what they think about. In the 10 days of awe, here's what they actually believe. The tradition goes back they believe that Abraham offered Isaac on this day, okay? On this idea of the Day of Atonement, those kind of things. But they believe that there's going to be three books were opened starting in this 10-day time period. One was called the Completely Righteous Book, sometimes called the Book of Life. And there were people who said, "Are you in the Book of Life?" That was the question. You know, you thought, "Am I in the Book of Life?" How do you get in the Book of Life, by the way, the real Book of Life? Faith in Jesus Christ. How did they think you got in the book of life? Huh? Living what? What did you say? Trying to be righteous, trying to live a good life. Then they also a book called The Completely Wicked, which was called The Book of Death. And that was people who weren't living right. And then they said that there's another book called The Book for Average People, which is in suspension because they're not either in the book of life or the book of death. They're not completely righteous or completely wicked. And so when they greet each other in this 10-day time period, because what are they doing? They're afflicting their souls. What are they hoping? They're saying, I hope I'm in the what? Book of life. And so when they greet each other, they say, may you be inscribed and sealed immediately for a good life. That's how they greet each other. May you be inscribed and sealed immediately for a good life. So in this 10-day time period, the normal Jewish person is saying, okay, here's trumpets, new year, I got 10 days, and basically I got 10 days to what? I've got to get my act together. I've got to live right because I want to be inscribed and sealed in the book of life. And they think that they would say that most people are average. Most people are in suspension, that they're not in either one yet. And that's just sort of how they're going. That's how they would think about it. And that one day he's going to come judge the earth and there would be the sheep and the goats and all that stuff. And so the trumpet ultimately is going to be the gathering of the nation. And when they would think about the coming of the kingdom, in their mind, as a Jewish person, how did one get into the kingdom? Huh? Tried to obey the law because you had to be a descendant of who? Abraham. I mean, you had to be Jewish, so you had to be Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and a descendant of Jacob as a Jewish person. You pretty much, being Jewish, were automatically going to be pretty much in the kingdom. Now, you might not be in there because you might be in the book of death, you know, but you want to be in the book of life, and everybody's pretty much kind of sitting there going, I hope I'm doing enough good. I hope I'm doing this. How many of you can ever identify with that as far as before you trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, did you ever look at your life and think the way to go to heaven is trying to do more good than bad? Do any of you identify with that? Okay, now I do. A lot of you, some of you don't. Some of you, if you grew up in church and where the Bible was taught or where your family led you to Christ, you didn't deal with that. I didn't grow up with that. And I actually remember thinking, okay, what you have to do, as long as you do more good than bad, you'll get to go to heaven. So in a sense, I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm in suspension. I wouldn't have seen this at all. I would have just thought that either you're going to be good enough to get to God and you get life, or you're going to not be good enough to get to God and you get death. And that's what I thought. Well, Jewish people are thinking this all the time now. They don't think faith in the Messiah saves you. They think try to be righteous and you will be in the book of life. So may you be inscribed and sealed immediately for a good life. Now what they do on the Feast of Trumpets, they gather together, they blow the shofar, and Psalm 47 is read seven times. You go, why Psalm 47 and why seven times? I don't know. I mean, that's what they do. Psalm 47 is it's not a long psalm. It's not real short, but listen to Psalm 47. They read it seven times. I'm going to read it just a little bit for you. It says, oh, clap your hands, all your peoples. Shout to God with a voice of joy. For the Most High, the Lord Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues people under his feet and nations under him. He chooses our inheritance, the glory of Jacob. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. For God is the King of the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over all the nations. God sits on a holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. See, it's always back to Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. They read that seven times over and over again. On this day, they also, I did all the studies I could find about what they do modern time, they eat sweet food, with the idea for this next year to have a sweet life. You know, sweet food. So, lemon meringue pie, banana pudding, things like that, so you can have another good year. That's how they think about it. So, when you think of the Jewish people, has the bell already rung? Both of them? Okay, well, all right, here's what we did. We've seen the Jewish way of looking at this. Okay, when you think of Feast of Trumpets, Jewish-wise, what do you think of? Okay, when you think of the Feast of Trumpets, Jewish-wise, what do you think of? This trumpet blowing, what's going to happen? They're coming together. That's right, they're gathering together, and they're thinking of a we're thinking second coming kingdom. Christian-wise, church-wise, when we think of a trumpet, what do we think? The rapture, and we're going to be taken out. Next time, we're going to look at how it fits together with the rapture. Because when we look at this thing, you got Passover. Now, I know time is up. Okay, this is a test. You ready? 14th day of the first month is what? What is it? Say it loud. Passover, and that's pictures of the death of Jesus Christ, right? 15th through 21st is unleavened bread, and that's picture of no sin. And then the following following after the Sabbath day on the first day of the week is what? First fruits, that's picture of resurrection. And then 50 days after that is Pentecost, and that's a picture of the church. And they would think that that's when they got the law, but it was a mystery to them because that's the church. And then on the first day of the seventh month is trumpets, and that's a picture of, for the Jew, it's the picture of the kingdom second coming. For the church, it's a picture of rapture. Do you see the flow of the timeline? Now, next time, after this one, we're going to get the hard one, and it's going to take a little while to go through it, because I want to show you what happened in the Bible on the Day of Atonement, and then I'll tell you what they do today. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our opportunity to look at all this. Help us to put it together, see the flow of the feast, how they fit, and then how they're really a picture of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Most of all, Lord, would you use us to tell people about the great message, how Jesus died and rose again and gives eternal life to all who believe. Thank you, Lord, for the Feast of Trumpets. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.